Hey everybody, Jeff Prather here on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, back with you for another show of real news, not fake news. I'm a dad, husband, chaplain. I was an intelligence officer. Now I'm your intelligence officer, speaking truth to power, dispelling fake news and exposing the deep state. And a lot has happened this week. We had our Christ Chaplaincy service today. If you're interested in that, you can go to christchaplaincy.com. We are well into the summer and it's hot, and you should stop in and to Perfection Auto Works and see Mike Emery there, a caring, concerned patriot. I was in there a couple months back and he said, Jeff, you need new tires. And I didn't get around to it. Now that the summer's here and the hot air is in there, I can feel all the bumps and want to make sure I get that done before I do any trips, although I'd probably be flying. But he was very much a prophet in predicting that. They're at 1046 North Beverly Avenue, 323-8650 at www.perfectionautoworks.com. And while you're out there, make sure you stop in and see Doug at Diamondback Shooting Sports at dbacktraining.com. They do training. I don't think anybody's out on the range with this heat. It's starting to slow down and break. But also, if you're interested, you know, my old company, warriorschool.com, we have a tactical blade, Prather War Buoy. I don't talk about it as much as I used to, but yes, I have my own knife. Yes, guys have done movies. I've done movies, TV, I got books, but how many guys have their own knife? I have my own knife, Prather War Buoy. It's a great knife. Look it up. But I have a seminar coming up at warriorschool.com on 13 July. If you're interested, I do get people from the audience stopping by the dojo and Warrior School at 4518 East Broadway. You can always email me at info@warriorschool.com. I appreciate all the support. I got people stopping by giving me donations, which is real nice, in addition to my wonderful sponsors. But you can always sponsor the show at gogetfunding.com, the Prather Point. So busy week, a lot of stuff happening, good service today. And we took the week off for the July 4th Independence Day holiday because we were just exhausted. I want to talk a little bit about that. But the Democratic left campaign is now in full swing, and it's always so funny to listen to these guys because they want you to believe that they're so smart. And because you know they're on the strips of the coast and they're brilliant, and they're not any smarter than us. In fact, and I've been around, you know, I've been in the White House, been around lots of heads of state and foreign heads of state, guarded, you know, senators, congressmen, guarded senator. I can't think of his name right now. When he was running for president, had to run to the airport. He had forgotten his iPad, so I brought it to him at the airport. Can't think of his name. I can think of his face right now, but I'm getting old. But they're not any smarter than us. In fact, usually they're less smart because they're full-time politicians. They're just simply more ambitious than us. And that's what you should remember. So there's so many good examples of this, but this is a great one. I just could not pass it up. So former Vice President Joe Biden, who was the VP for Obama, and, you know, I didn't like him as president because he was very corrupt. But, you know, he just said, look what's happening with the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. He told CNN's Chris Cuomo, while Putin is trying to undo our elections, he is undoing elections in Europe. Look what's happening in Hungary. Look what's happening in Poland. Look what's happening in Moldova. You would think that wouldn't happen. You'd think that would happen on my or Barack's watch. But I promise you it wouldn't have. And it didn't. Listen to that for a second. All this stuff that we're dealing with right now with Trump happened on his watch. And he is telling CNN, remember James Earl Jones, this is CNN. He's saying exactly the opposite because he's not that smart, which, you know, he makes lots of gaffes. But what's more telling about that is he doesn't think we're that smart. Okay. So it's laughable. It's a joke. So remember to understand that Politicians are like fish. They all start to stink after a while. You try and get the newest one. I always try and vote the guy who's running rather than the incumbent. I always try with the veteran rather than the civilian. I talked last week about Sergeant Bellavia going to run. And I think I also mentioned Senator Tom Cotton, who just wrote the book, great book, Sacred Duty, about Arlington, about the old guard. Really cool. But this stuff is just, you can't make this stuff up. It's, they're just so ridiculous. So also, I always want to touch on what's local to us, but really what is local to us is national and international, because remember, the covert effort to curtail our freedom, fast and furious, started here in Arizona. It started with DEA, where I used to work. That's how I get involved. And we had a great interview this week with Vince Cefalu. I really liked that. I got a lot of good feedback. And please make sure you give me feedback, info@warriorschool.com, calling at 527-90-2040. Sorry I didn't get to your calls last week, but I really wanted Vince to talk. He is very eloquent, and he's a brave guy, and stood up to all that. And got fired three times. I only got fired once. But the effort to destroy our republic and curtail our liberty because personal freedom is ensured by personal weaponry began with Fast and Furious, and it still is continuing up. Now it is, of course, the left trying to bring everyone across the border, so there is no state anymore, and I've talked about that a lot. But the latest is that the FBI is doing something besides now that all the bad guys are out or have been outed. They're actually doing some work, and the FBI is investigating an anti-fascist activist, that's Antifa. You know, those are the fascists, because whatever they're accusing you of, they're actually doing. You know, Antifa is the guys who beat everybody up and wear masks and say and won't let anybody have free speech. They have a plot to buy guns from a Mexican cartel. Gosh, this sounds familiar. And I think the last time I was on national news, I was broken a story where they were taking up Border Patrol's rifles. And I said, it's a reverse Fast and Furious. And that story went nationwide. It was on a different network at the time. But militant Antifa activists are planning to disrupt security operations at the U.S.-Mexico border, allegedly planning to buy guns from a Mexican cartel associate known as Cobra Commander in order to stage an armed rebellion at the border. Huh, this sounds vaguely familiar. And of course, Antifa is known for all of their violence, and we see that every week. We see them screaming anti-fascism as they're the fascists, as they're the states. And that's the rule. You got to understand with these people, whatever they're accusing you of, they're actually doing. Realize that and start to look for that. You've got to discern the truth. You've got to discern good from bad. So that's real interesting. I thought that was hilarious. Already coming up on first break. Got a lot more good stuff. So be right back with you here in a second. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you after this break. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, 1030kvoi.com. Trusted local news and talk back with you going into our second segment. And so hope you all had a wonderful Independence Day. It's the 4th of July, but it really is Independence Day because the Declaration of Independence wasn't even signed on the 4th of July. And I'm not going to get into the details on that. But it was really exceptional, and Maurice was talking about that, a fellow veteran on the last show, of the great Patriot Parade that Trump put on, and I thought that was great. And, you know, he comes from the World Wrestling Federation, so that's a big show. All that stuff's rehearsed. He knows how to put on a great show, and I thought he put on a great show. And I listened to the speech. I thought it was a real good speech. He wasn't really criticizing anybody. He was praising the military, and he was praising nuns, and he was praising surgeons. And it was really good. He's restoring patriotism, and there's nothing wrong with patriotism. There's something wrong with xenophobia, that there is something wrong with thinking that we are perfect and that we have never done anything wrong. But restoring patriotism in America, that is what he says, is making America great again. I don't say great. I say exceptional, because of our exceptional love of life and freedom. And I talk about that is based upon our spiritual values, which come from our morals, which come from our Judeo-Christian and native traditions, and that we love life and freedom so much that we will send out our sons and daughters to fight, kill, and die for it. And then we'll send out our sons and daughters to other countries to fight, kill, and die for it. And then when we win, and when the American fighting warrior is unleashed, we always win. We give the country back. And that is what makes us exceptional. No one else in the history of the world has ever done that. Have we sinned? Yes, greatly. But have we improved? Yes, in some regards, in many regards. So I thought the parade was great. And Dave, if you're listening in the tanker, feel free to call in later, because the left was saying, tanks in the streets. And you and I both know, you better than I, Dave, the combat tanker veteran, is you can't drive tanks through the streets because it'll destroy the pavement. I think there were infantry fighting vehicles, and I think they were just parked, and there might have been some tanks there too. But it's not a show of force. It's a show of patriotism. And there were some flag burnings. And you know what? I'm fine with flag burnings. I would never do it myself. And if you do it, I'm never going to talk to you again. That's my privilege. I'm flying my flag. But I understand that people want to burn the flag. I understand a lot of Indian reservations who are veterans many times. They fly the flag upside down as a symbol of distress. And that's part of what we vets stand for. But they were also saying, imagine a world without America. So the American citizens with the freedom of speech are in a little tiny cluster at the White House saying, imagine a world without America, and they have the right to free speech to do that. But there's not a lot of other countries, I got to tell you, I haven't worked a lot, that you could pull that off. Okay. And, you know, that just was revealed. I was talking in my sermon today about the two Americans and that were bicycling around the world. And the guy had blogged that he didn't believe in evil, and they were bicycling through Tajikistan, and some Muslim jihadist terrorist rammed them and then got out and killed them with knives because they didn't believe that there was evil. It was just a make-believe concept. And now they're dead. And we are so protected. There's only 0.5% of the population serving in the military here, that you can live in this mythical world. But when you go outside of it, yeah, you can get killed. I'm not saying a lot of people, most people aren't nice, and most people won't help you. I have lost count of the homes I've been invited to, the champas, the little shacks that I have been invited to in Central and South America, in Korea, slept in people's homes. But there is evil out there. And if you refuse to believe that because you have no basis of discernment, then you could end up getting killed. You could put your family in danger. And our basis for that comes from our ethics, and our ethics come from our morals. And again, our morals come back from our Judeo-Christian native values. And that's really important to understand. And so I thought it was a great Independence Day, because we were showing our independence from an earthly king. And if you've watched, there's a lot of Churchill stuff coming out. Darkest Hour was out, Dunkirk, a lot of shows on Churchill. The Crown was featuring how Churchill was the lone voice against Hitler when everybody thought Hitler was great and Hitler was Time Magazine's Guy of the Year and everything. But later on, he tried to conceal something from the young queen, who is now the very old queen, and she remonstrated him. She scolded him, and he took the scolding. And they still have that tradition. So in America, though, we came and we said, you know, we don't need that earthly tradition. We don't need that to get in the way of us. And Ian, if you're listening, you know, cheers, mate. All due respect. Ian was with me in Chile a long time ago, and he's over in England and comes and visits me with his wonderful wife every once in a while. But the American way is not to have something in between us and God and the divine. And that's where kings come from. But, you know, where you get one king, you get 99 bad kings in there. And so that's very important. So we're talking about independence from a monarchy so that we can have interdependence and a more direct connection to God. And of course, what I say that is the Christ connection to our Father in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit comes through that and you get discernment and deliverance as a gift and fruits of the Spirit. But, you know, that's where I'm coming from. But even extreme athletes will talk about the flow when they get in an extreme moment. And they even hear the voice, just like there's a voice in the Gospel of Mark when Yeshua comes out of the water. And there's voices other times. And I've heard the voice in my near-death experiences. So it can all fit. And Trump was reminding of that, of our basic patriotism, because suicide is a leading cause of death in America, and especially young veterans are suiciding. And so I thought it was really good. I don't want to say, though, that it's not like, I'm not a conservative to say, hey, you know, everything's great in America. Everything's not great in America. And our two greatest sins I talk about all the time is the slavery of Africans and the genocide of natives. But what is often perceived is actually not the case. So we have our problems, but that doesn't usually fit the mainstream media. They even have an abbreviation for it now, the MSN. I call it the propaganda press. Rush calls it the drive-by media. But Trump has really got everybody talking about the fake news. And that's great because we're recognizing it. There's always been fake news. And there is racism in America, okay? But we just had a black president. He represented himself as black. He's half black, half white, which would have been a better way, but he represented himself as a black president. We have lots of black rights. But let me show you what I mean by racism in America. And of course, everybody's demonizing Trump. But last year, and I've talked about this before, but I'll talk about it again, is Trump authorized the recognition of 6 tribes that for the last 20 years had never been recognized by the federal government. So when you get recognition, you get a lot of BIA money, although the BIA steals a lot of money. It disappears all the time. There's a lot of corruption there. But it's the Chickahominy tribe. Chickahominy means ground corn people. The Eastern Chickahominy, the Monongahela, not the Mohegan, but the Monongahela, the Nanaimo, the Rappahannock, that's, you know, everybody been to New York knows the Rappahannock, the Upper Mattaponi tribe, and they're also authorizing some money for these guys. And, you know, I got a picture here of they're in Washington being recognized. They look like me. They don't look like Western Indians because there's so much intermixing now of blood. But this was a big deal for me because I'm very conscious of Native rights. My birth mom, who gave me up for adoption, was born in Comanche, Oklahoma Indian Territory before it was a state. And I ended up training and studying under an Apache medicine man, Philip Casador. Wrote a book about it. Go on Amazon. It's a great book, Initiation by me. Boys Are Born, Men Are Trained, My Journey with an Apache Medicine Man. Great, great book. But why do I bring this up? Because these 6 tribes were the 6 tribes that greeted the pilgrims. So so when I talk about racism, everybody wants to talk about the fake news pop culture, but let me talk about real racism. Because we've had a black president. We've also had an Indian vice president, by the way, Edward Curtis. Most people don't know that. And slavery was a terrible sin, and the South was able to use that because African peoples looked so different, and sometimes Native peoples did not look so different, and they tried to enslave them too. But let that sink in for a second about real racism, because the biggest suicide rate, the biggest poverty rate, the biggest drug rate are on American Indian reservations. And they're not like any other minority in America now, because they were here first. As my teacher said, we were here before the rocks were hard. Your people came later. But they were welcomed without Tisquantum. Squanto, the pilgrims wouldn't make it. Half of them were dead. They didn't know how to live here. But the six tribes that just got recognition were the tribes that greeted the pilgrims. And they just now got recognition. Now, I don't know what you call that, but I call that racism. Okay, real racism. But that's not what's in the news. Racism is people trying to say, I'm not saying there isn't prejudice and racism against other folks, especially black folks. That's still going on. But it's not a major issue. Why? Well, we just had a black president. Oprah, richest woman in America, is a black lady. But how often do you hear about Native peoples, Athochans, indigenous folks? Not much. And you'd think that if these were the tribes that greeted America, pilgrims, that they could, you know, give them some recognition. I will go a little further on that. Declaration of Independence, great document, amazing document. And of course, everybody is aware the irony that all men are created equal and we had slaves. And that blacks, Africans were 3/5 of a person. But are you aware that the Declaration of Independence also calls Native peoples merciless Indian savages? Did you know that? You did know that. Okay. So it's right there. I'm always pinging stuff off of John. But I'm coming up on a break, but everybody's heard the song Shenandoah, knows about Shenandoah. Oh, Shenandoah. That song, Shenandoah, is about a famous Oneida chief. And that whole valley, supposedly by legend, was named by Washington after this chief. Why? Because this chief supported Washington during the Revolutionary War at a little place called Valley Forge. Didn't know that, though, did you? They were starving to death at Valley Forge. Well, I always like to say, I was with the Army. I was a senior branch. Before there was a country, there was an army, and there were soldiers fighting for a country not yet born. And I always get tears in my eyes. But there were also Native warriors and chiefs supporting and fighting for that country not yet born. And that is really significant, and I'm going over, and I will tell you why that's so significant. But what I'm saying is we have our faults, and there is real racism, but you're not going to hear about it in the fake news. But anyway, this is Jeff Prather, right back with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works studios, back after this break. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, back with you in the Perfection Auto Works studios. So, America is great, and more accurately, exceptional. And I think the phrase would be better to make America godly again, or make America sacred again. But I understand that you need short phrases, but we do have our faults, but you don't hear about the real issues, the real racism. And if you go back and look at President Trump's speech, he's pointing out all kinds of great folks who certainly deserve recognition, and he did a great job of doing that. But as far as I could tell in the speech, guess what race of people he never pointed out? Not one Native person. And all minorities, but especially Native population, have served this country more bravely in wartime and done all kinds of great things, such as Daganoweda, which was a Huron who conceived of the Iroquois, the Great Iroquois Confederation, which has a lot to do, and this is controversial. I've talked to guys at Freedom Singers, like, the Indians had nothing to do with our development of our United States, but that's simply not true if you start reading the notes of the founders, especially Benjamin Franklin. And Daganoweda's protege was a guy named Hiawatha. There's different ways to say that, but Hiawatha is not like the Longfellow poem, not at all like that. But they established the council fire of all the great tribes, and they used the pine tree, the great white pine tree, spreading its roots out everywhere. And of course, one of the early flags, what's on one of the early flags? There's a pine tree. And we still bring in a pine tree at Christmas, although a lot of people say that comes from Germany. But again, Squanto greeted the pilgrims in English and as a Christian because he had been captured and kidnapped, and he helped them survive. And the Iroquois Confederacy, which is based upon the Seneca, Cayuga, Onondaga, Mohawk, the Six Nations, they were all allied, and that one of their basic principles was, we're all independent republics, but we're never going to fight against each other. When the revolution came, our revolution came, the Oneida under Shenandoah agreed to fight against the Confederacy, and they covered the council fire. So a republic, a confederacy of independent nations that had existed long before our United States ended. And in that end, Shenandoah supported Washington. And of course, what did they get out of it? They got betrayed. They got every treaty broken. And even Washington, the indispensable man, betrayed them. So there's racism out there, and there's legitimate concerns about racism, but it's not what you're hearing in the fake news at all. And again, you can look up everything I'm always talking about. And a lot of it is because it got translated later on. But the tradition was great oratory, which is, of course, the exact opposite of the fake news of the time and the early cartoons. But Indian orators were great orators. But of course, the caricature is meum heap bigum, that they can't speak, but actually they could speak very well, and they could often speak multiple languages. So that's my point there, is we are a great country because of our exceptionalism, and Trump is bringing that back. It'd be better if it was godly or exceptional, but you know, you need to have good little sound bites today for that. And we do have our problems, but very rarely will you ever see the propaganda press or the government addressing real issues. And if anybody else out there wants to call in, or if Big Joe, if you're listening up on, I think you're at a sunrise ceremony up there on the San Carlos or White Mountain Reservation, you guys are welcome to listen. I hope you guys like the way I'm calling you out by name. I'm not using your last names though, but but that's okay. So moving on to other issues, because I don't want to just belabor the point. Although I could talk about that the whole time, is Kirk, if you're listening, my brother Vet, we got commissioned together, sent me a real cool analysis of why the left is doing what they're doing. Because you look at the left, you look at, you know, Trump, and he's saying, hey, patriotism. And like, well, that sounds pretty good. You know, black unemployment low, taxes cut, sounds great. And then you look at the left, and they're like, "Well, let's decide if we can kill babies that are born." That's the governor of Virginia, I think, saying that. And you wonder why they are so far out on all of these issues. And so this is hat tip to Kirk, if you're listening, and feel free to call in 520-790-2040. What Kirk is saying is that it's not really it's mostly the Dems, because the Dems have been sold out to the socialist communists, but it's really the Uniparty, which includes the RINOs as well. And Trump has taken back 80% of center issues like trade, immigration, wage growth, abortion. I talked last show about how Trump got this is huge too. I want to emphasize this again about the border, how Trump, from a position of strength, leveraged a negotiation with the government of Mexico to start enforcing immigration and that, and Brexit. And of course, we just had our Independence Day Brexit, and Hong Kong not wanting extradition, and Guatemala. And so everybody is reinforcing nationalism and populism, which is individuals' states' rights. I mean, individuals' rights and nations' rights. And so Trump is taking all these center issues back. And Mexico has had to choose between cartel money and United States money. And from what I've heard, there are some congressmen who have been on the take with the cartel when I used to be on top of that issue. So the powers that be do not want to discuss these issues by themselves because these issues split everybody up. For instance, trade and immigration. The uniparty splits in two, with the Dems uniparty being for fair trade and open borders, while the GOP uniparty is for free trade and secure border. But if you really think about it, you can't have open borders and fair trade, and you can't have a secure border and free trade. They are the opposite of each other. Trump screwed up their strategy by being for fair trade plus secure borders. Think about that for a second. Fair trade, this is what he's been saying, and secure borders. So because of this, the left and the rhinos, the uniparty, is forced to admit they want a 20% issue. They want free trade and open borders, which really means no country. Remember when President Obama said, I'm a citizen of the world, and I'm like, you can't be a citizen of the world. By definition, a citizen can't be a citizen of the world. Look up the definition. Once you admit that a position you are forced to admit, other unpopular positions, like disbanding ICE, supporting China, Canada, Mexico, over the U.S. And think about it. That's exactly what the left is doing. But I digress. I have a caller, an old friend of mine who I've been on his show before, and we've been at Freedom Conferences together. And so I want to welcome Sean Hoffman, who was just on earlier today, I think.
Yeah, right before you, Jeff. Right, a couple hours before you. I got a real tough time when you talk about life. And I'll continue to say this. I mean, we got a Fourth Amendment. Somehow the Supreme Court found this right to privacy, and you can kill a baby. And it violates, and I know you know this, it violates due process in the Fifth Amendment. I mean, we can all talk about Trump. We can all talk about, oh, this guy was the best Supreme Court justice ever. But, Jeff, I got to ask you philosophically, do you believe, I mean, you continue to say American exceptionalism, and yet we can still, anytime we want, take away life. And we don't respect the Constitution, and that we probably don't have one anymore. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I've said for a long time our republic has fallen, and that we have to but the revolution has begun. And I've been saying this since the Obama administration on other shows. And we have to take back and restore our republic. And part of that is, and remember, I'm a product of rape myself. And that has nothing to do with, I have nothing to do with the violence of the act. And so I am totally, and I've done whole shows on and had on here pro-life, and we have to restore our traditional values. So I don't see how we are in any way in disagreement.
No, we don't disagree, but the problem is with politics, this thing called the Constitution, if we still believed in it, if we still actually had the Fifth Amendment, which, again, guarantees due process, you can't kill someone without due process. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
So are we, I mean, again, and you've been pretty hardcore with me on this. I am so pro-life, it makes me sick anymore. I'm having a real tough time. We don't understand. We can fix this if we actually start to take control of this government one more time and actually tell people We understand Congress can change the Supreme Court. That's the ultimate check and balance. Go back to 3 Supreme Court justices and just stop this crap. Stop Roe v. Wade and stop saying that they have the right in black robes to take away life. And that's a tough thing for me, Jeff. It really is one of my hardest. When I get up in the morning, I really have a tough time when I pray. I have a tough time with this.
Well, so I'm in total agreement with you. So I'm not sure where you are questioning me, because I am.
I'm not. You know what? I'm not. You know what?
Undeniably, you know, that's. I did a show where I had on the director of the local pro-life movement who just opened a clinic right next to 200 feet from the last abortion clinic. And I say that this will be outlawed in the next 20 years. And of course, it's the right to life in the Constitution. So
I'm still not finding it, dude. I haven't found it. I've been reading that thing for 15 years.
The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
No, that's not the Constitution. That's the Declaration.
Yeah, no, I meant to say the Declaration. So hang on. I got one more break and another caller, but...
No, keep the faith. No, you're doing the right thing, Jeff. I'm on your side. I love it when guys like me and you do support life and those little babies.
It's murder. It's infanticide. And I've said no society that lives on death and the death of the children, the unborn, will ever survive. And it's satanic. So
I can't be any more clear than that. And I'm on your side right there. It's satanic. It's satanic.
And in fact, I've done shows on that talk, and I will get back to that about talk. Jeffrey Epstein just got arrested. Uber has turned in his report on Clinton child crimes. That's all coming on, and I've talked a lot about that. So anyway, thanks for the call.
You're doing the right thing, Jeff. Thanks.
Thanks, brother. And we'll be right back for our final segment. Ingrid, I see you on the line, and I'll get right back to you here right after this break. Jeff Prather, back with you in the Perfection Auto Works studios. On the Prather Point, and Ingrid, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I so thoroughly enjoy listening to what you're saying, especially at the beginning when you were talking about the role that Native Americans had in the development of our country, and the phrase "nature and nature's God" in our preamble to the Constitution. I believe. Comes right out of the mouths of Native Americans because they valued nature so much, and that's what our Constitution preamble references. But I'm very surprised to not hear anybody talking about what went on in this country a couple hundred years ago, and I really don't know when it ended, but it was the midwife who made a decision about the condition of the live birth, if it was a two-headed baby or conjoined twins. That delivery was brought to the back of the barn, and that life was snuffed out with the twist of the head. We don't talk about that, but that went on because that kind of life was not wanted. Why aren't we talking about that?
Just can't talk about everything, I guess. The Spartans threw imperfect babies out. The Hawaiians did that. The Mayans, Aztecans. And, of course, we here in America have now murdered more babies than from every war we have ever fought. Let that sink in for a second. But again, I believe that's going to change. And I think that is in the process of changing as we come back to our core values of life and freedom. And from a Native point of view, the first, the most important lives are the lives of the children, and the most defenseless are the unborn. So, I mean, it all logically follows. The court, the activist court, legislated this, and nobody wanted it. Roe became a Christian. And it is falling yet again. So I hope that answers your...
Well, actually, the point is that it was an accepted procedure in this country up until I don't know when, but it was going on for a long time, and we just don't talk about it. This was done in America and prior, in colonial time. That's how things were handled. I'm astonished that it hasn't been brought up by anybody, and I thought I'd better say something.
Well, I appreciate your input there. And so, to be very clear to Sean, Ingrid, and anybody out there, as I said on a show previously, you know, I am unabashedly, unrepentantly, totally pro-life. I am adopted. My brother's adopted. My two sisters are adopted. We were just over Chris Smith, if you're listening there. We were in the Lucky Seven Club together. And so I am totally pro-life in all conditions, and no culture that survives on death will survive. And that is the worst and the most satanic of sins. But got another caller. Anna, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Well, I wanted to kind of follow up with the struggle that Sean Hoffhein brought up as well, because, you know, yes, we are taking for granted the freedoms that we have that exist based on those who have gone before us, those who have risked and struggled, and only to, in current society, listen to all of the meanings of the words be twisted in a way that distorts our history, such as the phrase co-equal branches of government. And I know that many people who are listening are knowledgeable on the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, but our judiciary has been a main source of our current problems, because people are allowing for the continuation of not only a defunct Congress not taking action, but actually the congressional powers, the strongest branch, according to our Constitution, pushing their responsibilities off onto the judiciary. And that is allowing many of our laws not to be enforced, many of our laws to be unconstitutional, many things setting precedents with today's mayhem comes from the abuse of the judiciary. So I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, good point. I appreciate that. And that's Anna Henderson, who was a good lady running for office, who did not get elected, which is too bad, because I've known her a long time as a very godly lady. And it's sad that we did not get her in office. But you know, we can get into a deep discussion of the founders were brilliant, and they looked at all these forms of government and they chose one. And yes, they certainly did use the Iroquois and were very impressed with that. But back then, one of the things was, and I'm not the constitutional guy. I was on another show with another Jeff, and I go to his freedom thing every year, and he's the self-taught constitutional expert. But we're certainly not following the Constitution anymore. And we see that over and over, and we see that with Hillary, with the Republic has fallen, because she gets away with, the elite gets away with things that the servant soldiers do not. But hopefully we are beginning to return to that. Under the Obama administration, there was a lot of interest back in constitutional carry, concealed carry, the Constitution, and Christianity, and putting all those four C's together, people have really become much more conscious of that. I remember back when I was with DEA, we had some kind of administrative subpoena, and I look back at that when I was a young agent, I was like, ah, yeah, no big deal, administrative subpoena. Now I look back at that like, what is this? Why would I be allowed to have that? And I've talked, and I know you've been at a lot of the places where I've talked on about the abuses of various parts of the government. But I wouldn't even say Congress is pushing it off on the judiciary. I just don't think it's being done We're now finally seeing that the courts allowed this abuse of the FISA courts. Congress is a joke. They've always been a mess. Judicial Watch is really doing so much of the work. The propaganda press is doing so little. But with all of these faults and sins, which means to miss the mark, we are still an exceptional country. All you got to do is look at the people Trump was pointing out at the speech. Look at Sergeant Bellavia's speech after he received the Medal of Honor last week, and seeing guys like him and Tom Cotton go into politics, and look at Vice President Pence attending both years of Right to Life rallies, and Trump tuning in on that. And so tyrants always fall. Always. And as Christians, we can look at the example that Yeshua sets for sonship, which is stiff, it's tough, it's steep. And we can look at the example of fathership from our Father in heaven. And that's a tough one too. Those are high standards to be met. But what I'm saying is there is hope. And you have to keep hope through faith, and faith in our core beliefs. And you have to continue the fight. And that's why really I'm on the air now, is to continue that fight. And to, as I was talking today in my sermon, to take the initiative, to not be passive, to not be observant, and to speak out fearlessly and boldly, no matter what the consequences. And that's what we're doing. And that's what you got to do. And I loved that Maurice was doing that on the last show. And I loved that Vince called in to do that. And then you guys are all calling in. And together, we will restore our republic. So this is Jeff Brather. Remember, blessings abound. And I will talk to you next week. You can always get a hold of me at info@warriorschool.com, and check out BujinkanUSA.com. God bless.